We're up to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Ches. This is a transition Perek. This is the end of, we'll see, Shmuel being the leader of Klal Yisrael, and by the time we finish, in an hour from now, we'll be on our way to appointing a new leader. But
this tape is Le'ilui Nishmas, my father's mother, Sara Freida Basra of Yisrael. She had a difficult life in Olam Hazeh, but her nachas was seeing her children and grandchildren, Isaac and Torah, and Avodas Hashem.
Perek Ches. Vayhi kasher zokein Shmuel, and it was when Shmuel was old, vayosem es bonov shoftim liYisrael, he appointed his children, his sons, as judges over Klal Yisrael. And it was when Shmuel became old. How old was Shmuel? Shmuel became old. How old was he? The interesting thing is, the Abar Ben El, many people are aware of the Chazal that he was 52. But a lot of the Meforshim on Tanakh understand Chazal. There's many different ways of understanding the Torah. There's Pshat, the simple meaning. There's Drush, the Drushes. There's remes, certain things that are alluded to, and then there is sod, the hidden part of the Torah. But it's among the Meforshim, a lot of times you find that they'll look in the Pesukim, and they'll write an explanation of how the Pesukim seem to imply. And they understand Chazal as the drosha, the way Chazal darshan it, but in the simple meaning they understand it differently. Which is interesting, because Darbar Ben El, over here, which was, Darbar Ben El is either a late Rishon or some categorize him as a very early from the first Achronim, but the Abar Ben El, who lived in the 1400s, explains the pasuk differently. You know, Pashup Shad, he says Vayikasher Zokin Shmuel, he would have learned that Shmuel was old. What is it based on? A number of reasons. First of all, Shoul was the main reason being Shoul is mentioned later as being Bochur. He was Bochur V'tov, which you could interpret it as meaning he was exceptional, he was a chosen person, and he was so good. But usually Bochur means somebody who's young. If Shoul is described as being young, and Shmuel is described as Kasher Zokein Shmuel, in the Pesukim I would assume that Shmuel was older than Shoul. And he chose the younger, the new leader, who was young, he was Bochur V'toiv. Assuming that Shmuel was older than Shoul, how old was Shoul when he became king? Which we'll see was at this juncture in history. In order to know Shoul's age, we know that after he was Nifter, he had a son, after he was killed by the Plishtim, he had a son that took over Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth, the Pasuk says later on, was 40 years old. Ishbosheth also was not the oldest child. A number of his brothers were also killed by the Plishtim. He was the sixth child. He had three older brothers and he had two older sisters. He was number six. If you figure that Shoul, when he was killed, and he was only king for 2 years, but when he was killed, he left over a 40-year-old son who was number six. So you can imagine that Shoul must have been at least in his 60s, would stand to reason when he became king. And if Shmuel was older, so I assume Shmuel was in his 70s, maybe even his 80s. And the Abar Ben El elaborates that you don't find in Tanakh that the Tzadikim and Gedolim were nifter young, with all of the difficulties that the Ovis had, but Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov all had Arichas Yomim, and Moshe, and Aaron, everyone you encounter from the leaders all had a long life. And the Abar Ben El says, Pashup Shad, he would learn Vayishika Shirzok, and Shmuel was old. But Chazal say differently. Chazal say to Gemara in Tainus Daf Hey, Chazal say Shmuel was 52. How does when he was Nifter? In other words, this was actually 2 years beforehand. In other words, he was 50 at the time, 49. There's a question. There's a few months. You know, when you give the years for everyone being a king, sometimes a few months more or less. But the calculation would be that when Eli became a shofet, became the leader of a Klal Yisrael, and he became the Kohen Gadol, we learned that was the day that Chana came to be Mispalo for her son, that eventually Shmuel would be born. And that was actually one of the points of the Barbanel, who said on the same day that he became the Kohen Gadol, and it mentions that he was sitting, who says on the exact same day he became the Shofet? Those are two different roles, and Eli filled both of them. He was the Kohen Gadol and he was the leader. But who said it all happened on the same day? But Chazal learned Pashut, because it doesn't say any other day when he became the leader. So if we know that he became the Kohen Gadol that day, we can assume that he became the Shofet on the same day. Eli was the Shofet for 40 years. So assuming Shmuel was born a year later, Shmuel would have been 39 when Eli was Nifter. At the time that Eli was Nifter is when the Aron was captured and was taken to the Plishtim, and it was there for 7 months. And after it was there, it was brought to, eventually to Kiryas Yeorim, the city in Eretz Yisrael, where it remained for 20 years, which we mentioned previously. So the Aron was there for 20 years. What happened during those 20 years? Shmuel was only a leader part of the time. We know because after David became the king over Klal Yisrael, it's like a few psukim after he became the leader over everyone, it mentions that they went and they brought the Aron from Kiryas Yeorim to Yerushalayim. And again, the Abarbanel questions, who said it happened immediately after he became king? There were a number of other events that happened in between, as the psukim mentioned. But assuming that David brought the Aron after he became king, he took it from Kiryas Yeorim, and David was the king in Hebron for 7 years, so it means it was 13 years in Kiryas Yeorim before David became the king in Hebron, right? Now, he was the king the last 7 years. So from the time that Eli was Nifter, there was a few months, and then 13 years in Kiryas Yeorim before David became the king in Hebron. And David became the king after Shaul was killed, meaning there was a 13-year difference. So if you calculate from the age of 39, which was the age of Shmuel when he was Nifter, when Eli was Nifter, Shmuel was 39, and you add on 13 years, you will have 52. So the psukim seem to apply. Again, we know for a fact Eli was 40 years in Shofet over Klal Yisrael, and we know that Chazal say that on the day he became the leader, Chana came to Davin. And we know that the Aron was in Kiryas Yeorim for 20 years. And knowing that and subtracting the 7 years that David was in Hebron, it adds up that he was 52 and he was Nifter. And this was actually earlier, because Shaul was the king for 2 years. So Vahi Kasher Zokein Shmuel. When Shmuel was a Zokein, meaning he was 50, maybe a drop lower when he was younger. Interestingly, the Chazal base it. The Gemara over there in Tainus on Daf Heis asks, was Shmuel so old? He was only 52. Because we know that if somebody is Nifter, lo aleinu, you should have a long life, but if somebody's Nifter at 52, it's taken as a good sign that Shmuel was Nifter at 52. So that's an age that's not indicative of the person dying young because of any avarice or anything, but that's Shmuel was Nifter also at 52. But Rabbi Yochanan says, Zikna Koftzolov, he became old prematurely. Why did he become old? Because we're going to see later on, after Shaul was told that he would lose the Malchus, Hashem said, Nimlachti, I've changed, Nichamti, I take comfort in the fact that I've changed my mind. I've decided that Shaul is no longer going to be the king. So Shmuel said, I'm compared to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe of Aaron, Bekoanov, Shmuel, Bekoire Shmo. Shmuel is compared in a sense to Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe and Aaron, what they produced in their life, they produced the Yoshua bin Nun. When they were Nifter, they could see that their work is going to be carried on. My work was producing a Shaul HaMelech. For me to see that he's Nifter and to see that it seems as if he's ending his life in failure. In other words, he produced the first king and the king is lost. If I'm like Moshe and Aaron, I shouldn't see that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so what can we do? at times Sholes should lose the Malchus. If Sholes should be killed now, Shmuel doesn't allow. Shmuel has a good argument. He should be like Moshe and Aaron, that his work should be carried on. So Shmuel wouldn't allow. Should Shmuel be Nifter first, and if Shmuel is Nifter first, then Sholes will be Nifter and there won't be any complaints. But everyone was going to speak about him, that he's Nifter at such a young age, and he seemed to be in the prime of health. People are going to speak. So we can't have Shmuel. It seems we can't. Shmuel can't be Nifta now either. Should we say, well, just let Shmuel have a long life and Shmuel will outlive him? There's a rule of Ein Malchus Nogas B'Chaverta Afilu Kamali Nima. One kingship can't infringe on the other, even like the width of a hair. In other words, if it's time for David HaMelech to become king, he's got to be king. Nothing can delay it or impede it. So if David has to be the king now, so obviously Shaul will have to be Nifter. And Shmuel won't allow Shaul to be Nifter first. And Shmuel can't be Nifter as it is. Therefore, Shmuel was Kofzal of Zikna. He aged prematurely, and everyone could see that he was an old man. Even though the years didn't add up. He was a young man, but he looked and they felt that he was already old. Now this happened later on in history. This, in other words, at this point, when Klal Yisrael asked for a king, this was before Shaul made a mistake. He wasn't even on the world stage yet. They were just going to ask for a king at this point. But this is one of the examples that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the people have Bechira, we all have a choice of doing what, we can choose good or bad, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to choose. Now you're going to say, if it's known and there's no suffix and it's an absolute that you are going to do what you're going to do, how can you have Bechira? The Rambam already discusses it, and to a certain extent it's beyond human comprehension to really grasp this concept. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some external knowledge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu past, present, future, it's all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has knowledge of everything. And he knows exactly what we're going to do, but you have 100% Bechira. It doesn't affect your choice. You can choose this. Hashem knows what you'll choose. Why it is like that and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it like that is a different discussion. But, so what happened was, before Klal Yisrael even asked for a king, by Yikasher Zokin Shmuel, Hashem made Shmuel age prematurely, so that Klal Yisrael would ask for the king, and the whole sequence of events would come out, but when Shmuel would be Nifter, nobody would question how could it be he was Nifter at this point, because he looked old, he was old. Vayikasher Zokin Shmuel. So Shmuel was old. 52 Lafi Chazal. Vayosem of 50. Vayosem as bon of Shoftim Li Yisrael. He placed his sons as rulers in Klal Yisrael, which was his prerogative. A Navi chooses the leaders, the Shoftim of the people. And he places his children that they should carry on. Obviously, he knew that they were worthy and they were fit to be judges. And he placed them as Shoftim over Klal Yisrael. Vayihi Shem Beno HaBachor Yoel. The name of his son, the Bachor, was Yoel. V'shem Yishneu Aviyah. And his second son was Aviyah. And the Mefarshim mentioned how the names given to them, they have Hashem's name in them. Yoel and Aviyah. They were Shoftim B'Be'er Sheva. They were judges in Be'er Sheva. Now we're going to see, his sons didn't turn out the way he would have envisioned them to be the leaders. The interesting thing is, Yoel and Treyosa, the smaller books of the Nevi'im, where there's 12 of them, the Gemara mentions, Yeshaya is a large sefer, and Yirmiyah and Yecheskel, so it's a Navi that stands for itself. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, since the Treyosa, those 12 Nevi'im are very small, therefore they would be lost. Some say, they're sometimes referred to as the minor prophets, but they're not the minor. They're much smaller than the others, but they it had nothing to do with their greatness. They were small, since it was a small prophecy and it would be lost, the 12 of them were put together in one sefer called Treyasar. One of those 12 is Yoel. Now over there it doesn't call him Yoel ben Shmuel. And the Mefarshim say, because since over here we're going to talk about him negatively, he wasn't mentioned. When somebody opens up his Nevuah, his association shouldn't be with the Yoel that's mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. But obviously what happened was, when he was appointed, he was worthy of the job, and there were certain mistakes that were made, but he obviously at some point corrected himself. Maybe when Klal Yisrael, when he saw that they were appointing a king, there was a turnaround, and he was zoichet to Nevuah, that he became one of the great Nevi'im in Trei Oser. The Yoel ben Pesuel is this Yoel. And that was the first son of Shmuel. And the second one was Avia, Shoftim Be'er Shava. The plan was they were going to be judges over Klal Yisrael. Now, if you're going to judge the whole country, it would probably be easiest if you'd be in the center. Certainly Shmuel traveled around. But it's interesting, we'll see, they didn't follow the ways of Shmuel. And first of all, they had their headquarters in Be'er Sheva, which, if you know a map of Eretz Yisrael, is down south. And even the modern-day borders of Israel, Eretz Yisrael that we're going to have, extends much further to the north, and as into Syria and to Lebanon. It goes further north. While south, it doesn't really go further. In other words, it's not... Be'er Sheva is, you know, near the southern point of Eretz Yisrael. So they set themselves up in Be'er Sheva. V'loholchu bonav bidrochav. His sons didn't go in his way, in his ways. Actually, the ksiv, it's written, it could be written bidrocho, in his way, because the main way of Shmuel was the fact that he traveled around, that we just discussed in the previous perek on Pasuk Tes Zayin, that he traveled every year to Beis El and Gilgal and Mitzpah, and that was the way of Shmuel. He went among the people and he judged them and he corrected them, and we saw there was a tremendous yearning for Hashem that Shmuel helped to bring about. His sons didn't go bidrocho in his way, but once they didn't follow that way of Shmuel, they didn't go bidrochav. The Kri, the way we read it, is they didn't go in his ways, because it already affected. It started out with one thing, that they didn't travel like he did, but it affected the other conduct, was just not on the level of Shmuel. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a Musa Shmuz, and he points out it's a tremendous lesson, but Shmuel traveled around was a midas chasidus. In other words, it doesn't say a judge has to travel around. It's not part of the job description. He didn't have to travel around. Shmuel on his own felt that he should travel around and encourage the people and judge the people and correct them. And that was like Shmuel's personal avodas Hashem. Everybody finds his way, that his niche, what he could do. That was what Shmuel did. Once he did it, he gave that koyach and that ability to his children to carry on. So if his children didn't do it, now it was already a tain on them. The other judge doesn't say Osniel ben Kenaz was one of the greatest, or Gidon, or Yiftach. It doesn't say the other judges traveled around. This was Shmuel's own thing. But once Shmuel did it, his children were expected that they could carry on his work. He sort of was the trailblazer. It's something to keep in mind. What you do now, people learn from you. And others, and Shmuel did this, his children should have followed suit. And v'lohol chubon of bidrochav, if they didn't follow his ways, that already was a complaint. Shmuel did it, they should have done it. V'yitu acharei habotza, and they went after the prophet. Prophet here, not meaning like Shmuel. Prophet with an F-I-T at the end, right? Yeah. They went after the monetary gain. Why? They figured if they stay where they are, people come to them to Beis Din, and you already set up a whole, there's already a whole administration. It's not like the judge comes to the people, and then people would pay the judge what's called schar batola, meaning if you have a judge and he could be working that day and earning $500, so he's not allowed to get paid for judging. But the time that's wasted, in other words, if he can't be earning his $500 because he's listening to your din Torah, he's entitled to be reimbursed, right, for the time lost. So it's not called making profit off of dinei Torah. He takes his time, and he could be earning that money elsewhere. He would get reimbursed. if they remained in Be'er Sheva, people came to them. Very often I can imagine one of the litigants came to Beis Din and the other one didn't bother showing up, and then they'd have to send out a summons, and the other people wouldn't go, and then they'd send out another summons, and there was already a whole operation. There were people getting paid to be the Shliach Beis Din, there were Seifrim, there were scribes, and there was a whole apparatus, a whole operation, a whole judicial system in Be'er Sheva, and that was probably a major part of their economy. This was the central, the supreme court for Klal Yisrael. He was the leader. Everyone came to him, and therefore there was a prophet. And it seemed to him that was the best way for Be'er Sheva. That doesn't mean he necessarily gained from that, but once a person looks at it with a dollars and cents type of thing, especially the leader of Klal Yisrael, it already taints the administration. Once he's already looking at the fact that traveling around, you have travel expenses, and then they come, and it's more difficult. Shmuel himself, I say, didn't even take money from anyone. When he traveled around, it was a financial loss, but he was a wealthy man. He traveled around. He didn't benefit from anyone. He judged them. His children probably felt it was too difficult. They remained where they were. People came to them. So they went after this gain. They took a bribe, which doesn't have to mean that the person came and actually gave them a bribe. But the very fact that once a person's, it means something to the person where he's gaining and he has his eye on the bottom line. So people, there were certain benefits that he got, and then the person might show up for a din Torah, and it was like they were taking a bribe. Vayatu mishpat, and justice was perverted. It was corrupted. It was no longer the way it should have been. Vayiskabsu kol zikne Yisrael. So all of the zakenim of Klal Yisrael gathered together. Vayavo el Shmuel haramasa, and they came to Shmuel to Ramah. They came to pay him a house visit. They have something to discuss. There's a problem. Vayomrei love, and they said to Shmuel, Hinei ato zakanta, behold, you've gotten old. Uvanechalo holchu bidrochecha, and your sons did not go in your ways. Or is this two problems? Shmuel himself would not be able to judge and to do things himself. He was already old. And the replacement, what was set up, Yoel and Aviyah, they're not following in his ways. And now they speak sort of in terms of like a demand. Ata now sima lanu melech. Place for us a king, l'shofteinu kechol ha-goyim, and he should judge us like all of the goyim. Let's first see exactly the next few psukim, and then we'll discuss this more, this idea of appointing the king. Vayera hadover be'enei Shmuel. This request was bad in the eyes of Shmuel. When Shmuel heard this, he looked at this as if it's wrong. It's terrible. Kasher Amru, when they said, T'no lanu melech l'shofteinu, give us a king to judge us. But he didn't say anything immediately to them. He heard what they said. He didn't like it. Vayispal Shmuel al Hashem. Shmuel davened to Hashem. What does Hashem say? What should be the response? You know, a lot of times you encounter a situation in life and it's not to your liking. You're not sure exactly what to do. But the response of Shmuel is, Vayispal Shmuel al Hashem. Let's daven and hear what should be the answer. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel. So Hashem said to Shmuel, Shma b'kol ha'am, listen to the voice of the people. L'chol asher yomru elecha, to everything that they're saying to you. Ki lo oscha ma'asu, they're not despising you. Don't take it personally, it's not nothing against you. Ki osi ma'asu mimloch aleihem, they've like despised me. Or they can't tolerate Kaviyah. It's like they can't despise Hashem. They're disgusted. They don't want this Avodas Hashem anymore. And they don't want me to be their king. And they're looking for a human, a mortal, as their leader. Kachom ha'maisim asher osu, like all of the actions that they've done, Miyom halosi osam Mitzrayim, from the day that I brought them up from Mitzrayim, vad hayom hazeh, till today. This is not like a one-time occurrence or a minor fault that they have. This is what you've seen today is a problem that's been going on for hundreds of years, from the point the Yetzias Mitzrayim till now. Vayazvuni, they've abandoned me. Vayavdu Elohim Acherim, and they served other, that they served idols. Kein Hema Osim Gam Loch. Now they're doing it to you also. Va'ato Shma Bekolam. And now, listen to their voice, listen to their request. Ach ki hoi toi bohem. The one thing is, you have to warn them. Hoi toi bohem. You gotta like testify, warning them. Vigata Tolahem, and tell them Mishpat HaMelech Asher Yimloch Aleihem. Tell them the rules of the king that will rule over them. Over here, there's a major discussion among the Mefarshim. The Barbanel has page after page on this. What exactly was wrong? The Torah says when you come to Eretz Yisrael, V'amarta, you'll say, Asim Olai Melech, that you should place a king over you, Kechol HaGoyim Asher Svivosoi, like all of the Goyim that live around me. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Most of those who count the Tariyag mitzvahs list as a mitzvah sasei doraisa, som tosim alecha melech, you have to appoint a king over you. The Rambam paskins, when Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, there's three special mitzvahs that come into effect. There's a mitzvah they have to make a king, there's a mitzvah they have to wipe out a Amalek, and there's a mitzvah they have to build the Beis HaMikdash. But making a king seems to be there's a mitzvah. What exactly in it? It's addressed as such a strong of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they've sinned from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim till now, and now you're getting a taste of what I've had to put up with all these years. What exactly was the taina? There's many reasons given. Chazal have one reason, that they only asked for a king in order to be Oyved Avodah Zarah. They wanted to worship idols. Now, I'm sure when they came to discuss it with Shmuel, even though they said it, you know, like, give us a king, I'm sure if Shmuel would have asked, they were prepared that when Shmuel should ask them, how come, they weren't going to say in order to worship idols. But you should know, a lot of times a person has many, many kavanos in what he does. As if somebody will ask, you know, if a person sits down to eat Shabbos Kodesh, and the truth is there's many different derochim in Avodas Hashem. For instance, when a person eats on Shabbos, there are some people have the minig before every bite or before every dish, they say, L'kovet Shabbos Kodesh. And there's such an hoga, there were many tzaddikim who did that a person, before you take every bite, you know you're eating L'kovet Shabbos. There's a famous maisa, the Kotzker, the one somebody was sitting by the Kotzker, and he was ready to eat, and, you know, he said, L'kovet Shabbos Kodesh. So Kotzker took the food, and he said, L'kovet mein boich, you know, in other words, L'kovet my stomach, in other words, he... The Kotzker was very strong on emes. Not that the other way is not emes, but very strong on emes. Who said I'm eating L'kovet Shabbos? I'm eating because I like the food. And therefore, since he didn't want to tolerate anything that might be not 100%, that's what he said. And even somebody told me, I think it was the Slonim or Hasidim, have like a nusach, they would say like this, before they eat, I want to be eating in a way that halavai, my rutzen should be that I want to eat L'kovet Shabbos, you know, for Hashem. Like, you know, I realize I might not be eating with that kavana, but, you know, I'd like it to be my kavana. And you should know, even Rav Victor Miller used to hold that when a person eats, a person should say he's eating, you know, in order, it's definitely brought down in halacha that a person is supposed to eat in order that he's strong and he's able to serve Hashem. That's not up to debate. That's b'chol derechecha de'eyu. Everything you do, you're supposed to be doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's supposed to be the kavana. The question is, does the person actually say before you eat, I'm eating to serve Hashem, you know, with strength? If a person knows that that's possibly not his sole motivation. And Rav Victor Miller held that a person should say that, and if a person says it enough, if a person gets up every day and he says, I love you, Hashem, but if he says it enough, you know, he becomes aware of it, and it's on in his conscience, and it will come to Avos Hashem. But if a person's afraid to take that step and to say, I love you, Hashem, he'll never... It hampers his ability to really feel that Avos Hashem. when they appoint the back again to that cholent, when a person's eating on Shabbos, a guy's eating the cholent, what's his main intention? So the truth is, the reason why he's eating this right now is definitely L'Kovod Shabbos. He didn't eat this type of dish 24 hours earlier, and he's not eating it 24 hours later. He's eating this now L'Kovod Shabbos. No question about it. On the other hand, he happens to enjoy it also. What happens if there'd be a mitzvah to eat and he didn't like the food? Would he eat it with the same gusto? It's not. So a person has many motivations. When they wanted a king, having a king means many different things. It means somebody who, during the times of the Shoftim, there were many years that were good and there was no problem. Then Klal Yisrael slipped a little bit in their Avodas Hashem, and then therefore the Goyim gave them tzaras and they had difficulties. Then they cried out to Hashem, and then Hashem appointed a leader and a shofet, and somebody rose to the occasion and he saved Klal Yisrael. And then again, usually there was a period of quiet until again they had this problem that they slipped in the Avodas Hashem and the Goyim gave the pressure, and then they had to find another leader. But there was never that Klal Yisrael had a security in knowing this is their leader, there's somebody who'll organize the people and who'll lead their battles, that there's some unified, even a judge. Didn't go on father to son. There was no knowing who's going to be the next judge, and all of a sudden there was a problem, and then somebody was appointed, okay, he's the shofet. It led to, people wanted to have a sense of, for many reasons, they wanted a judge, they wanted a king, but the Navi here is faulting them, Chazal is faulting, inwardly, it could be their request was to serve Avodah Zarah. That there was a certain leader, there's somebody who'll organize the people and who'll lead their battles, that there's some unified, even a judge. Didn't go on father to son. There was no knowing who's going to be the next judge. And all of a sudden there was a problem, and then somebody was appointed, okay, he's the shofet. It led to, people wanted to have a sense of, for many reasons, they wanted a judge, they wanted a king, but the Navi here is faulting them, Chazal is faulting, inwardly, it could be their request was to serve Avodah Zarah. That there was a certain pressure having a leader as the shofet, that's the tzaddik and that he's the gadol, and he knows what they should be doing, and he's aware of the fact wherever their shortcomings is. You know, it's like lahavdal alaf avdalos, you know, sometimes I still remember when they, you know, years ago Clinton was running to, you know, to be president, and they had a picture of him playing the trumpet, you know, hanging out with you know, teenagers, you know, a show, he's like one of them. Sometimes a person enjoys, you know, the leader's like one of us, like, you know, he's no holier, you know, that's why he got scandals, and they're not, he's no holier than we are, and you know, he's one of us and he understands our faults, and it's not, they don't want to have the leader who's, you know, thinks everyone's gotta behave, you know, there's such a yetzahara. Lahavdil, in Klal Yisrael, it's nothing like this, because Klal Yisrael at the lowest level is way, way beyond this. But having a leader like Shmuel has, and our Shmuel knows what it's like to serve Hashem, and he's the person who went through the difficulty, and he overcame it, and he knows the truth, and when people came to him, he could see their faults. It was difficult for them to have Shoftim like that. They wanted to have more a regular guy. No, he should be a king, and of course he'll help them to serve Avodas Hashem. But the fact that they didn't want to have such a, the tzaddik hador should be their leader, and as he should be a king, and part of their cheshbon was, besides the one who fight the battles, besides the one who be the judge, Chazal were able to intuitively pick up that what they wanted was an avodah. They wanted to have that ability that when it's a bad day and they're not doing so good in the avodah Hashem, and they feel the need to be over avodah zara, the leader would understand, they have a leader that can tolerate their shortcomings. Of course they were going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if it'd be a king, it'd be easier when they're not doing well. So Chazal said their taina was that they wanted to serve Avodah Zarah. The problem is, these are many reasons given, and Abar Benel discusses it at length, exactly why each reason he feels has a problem with it. First of all, you don't see anywhere in their request. They said, give us a king to judge us. There was nothing wrong, it seems, in their words. And then, true, in the rebuke, Hashem, you know, played up the fact that they were Oyver Avodah Zarah, but they didn't ask for that. And not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, give them a king. As if their real intention was to be Oyver Avodah Zarah, so why was their request granted? Hashem said, okay, give them a king. Why should they get a king? Another pshat in Chazal is that the taina was they asked with a tarumis. There was a complaint, or they weren't happy with the way things were going. They came to Shmuel and they came with a complaint. But again, if it was a tarumis, why are they rebuked? It says for asking for a king. In other words, there's nothing wrong with their request. It was asked in the wrong way, but it doesn't seem to be that. The problem was in the way that they asked. The Ramban al-Atayrin, the Parshas Vayechi, when it says, Lo Yosir Shevet Mi Yehuda. Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to Yehuda, that Lo Yosir Shevet Mi Yehuda, kingship will always be by Shevet Yehuda. From the time that David was appointed the king, Klal Yisrael would always have, when they had kings, there would always be a king from Yehuda. There was a large time when there was kings in the Aseres HaShvatim, over the 10 tribes. But once Yehuda had Malchus, it stayed by Malchus Yehuda. Over there in that Ramban, when he discusses it, he mentions that the taina was that this was not the time to ask for a king. Or Shmuel HaNavi was leading the people, they were serving Hashem, they were secure from their enemies. And true, there were shortcomings in his sons, but they shouldn't have asked for a king. You know, they should have asked for the problem to be rectified, get other judges, or maybe Shmuel could still persevere and continue judging them, even though he was old. But to ask for a king, why jump to a different type of authority when it was working out very well with Shmuel? So they asked at the wrong point in history. And in fact, that's why they were first given Shaul, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to give them a king through a mistake. In other words, they made an error in asking for a king, so the king that they were given wouldn't last. Etein lechom melech ba'api, the Novi Hosea says, I'll give you a king in my anger. You ask for a king, okay, here's a king. But it's not going to last because it was asked for incorrectly. Then, after Shaul, then David HaMelech could be chosen as the king, and David, it wasn't like he came about through a wrong request. That's what the Ramban says. The problem is, again, tell me it wasn't the right time. But there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Soim tasim olecha melech. He's supposed to make a king. And what do you mean it wasn't the right time? There's a mitzvah to make a king. And again, the question is why they didn't even ask for it earlier in the times of Yoshua ben Nun. Through all those hundreds of years, why didn't Klal Yisrael Taka ask for a king? It wasn't the right time. Well, when's the right time? The Ran learns in the Drashas HaRan that the taina was, they asked, Simalonu melech lishoftenu, place for us a king to judge us. A king is not for judging. This is the judicial branch. The ones who judge, and they're the chachomim, and they know how to interpret the laws of the Torah. The king is empowered to carry out, to lead the people in war, to give the power behind Beis Din. But the king is not the one to judge. And as they're asking, they asked incorrectly, because asking for a king to judge, the Gadol Hador should judge, the Tzadikim should judge, Beis Din should judge. The king is not the one to judge. Asking for the king to judge is damaging what the Torah has in mind. The only problem with that is, we do know that the king does have certain powers of judgment. Sometimes there could be a case with the circumstantial evidence, perhaps. It's very clear that somebody's guilty, but we don't have the actual Eidim. I'm not saying Lamaisa, but let's say somebody on a video camera saw somebody do something else, some terrible crime, and whatever, it's clear, or perhaps there were many people saw it, but for whatever reason they were puzzled to adus. There's certain cases that we know in the DNA works out, everything works out, it's like it's clear from whatever reason. Sometimes there's just legal loopholes, you can't catch them and convict them. There are certain times where the king is allowed to use his power to have somebody killed or have somebody punished, even if it's not within the parameters of normal justice. If it's, I say that's exactly when that applies and how that's carried through is not for now. But by asking for a king to judge us, Could be they were just asking that they wanted to have that ability of a king. Now, it's working just with Beis Din wouldn't suffice. The problem is Beis Din also sometimes has that power. The Sanhedrin, or it doesn't always need the king. To say that was the whole taina, that they wanted a king to judge them, that he should have those extra judicial powers. Another taina mentioned is that they said, see, we want a king to judge us kechol ha-goyim, like the goyim. The goyim have a king, we want a king. To have something because the goyim have it is wrong. And that was the taina. But there also, the Torah says, when you come to the land and you take it over v'yirishta and you live there, and v'amartan, you'll say, asim alai melech kechol ha-goyim asher svivosai. You'll say, I want to have a king like all the other nations have a king, and then there's a mitzvah to make a king. So to say that the complaint is they wanted a king like the goyim, the Torah seems to say, a person will realize he wants to have a king like the goyim, and then there's a mitzvah to make a king. So the Bar Benel, and then there's one other pshat, that the Zakenim could be, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Daf Chof discusses this sugya, and the Gemara says that the Zakenim could be asked properly. In other words, the Zakenim asked Tana Lanu Melech Lishofteinu, and they wanted a king to judge them. The people were the ones who said they wanted a Kechol Hagoyim. As it says later on in the parak, even more at length in Pasuk Chof, Vayinu gam anachnu kechol ha-goyim, we should also be like all of the goyim. That was the people. The Zakenim who came to Shmuel really just wanted a king, not to be like the goyim. But again, in the Musar, that it was bad in the eyes of Shmuel that they asked for a king, he didn't even mention the fact that they said, give us a king like the goyim. In short, the Abarbanel discusses all the reasons, and the Abarbanel wants to learn that the truth is, there is a machloikis in Sanhedrin. The Gemara discusses, is there a mitzvah to make a king, or is it just you're allowed to have a king? And as we said, the poiskim, the Rambam brings down that there is a mitzvah. But the Gemara has two opinions. Could be it's a mitzvah, could be it's a reshus. And the Abarbanel wants to learn that the mitzvah could be, there's certain mitzvahs in the Torah that you only have to do if you feel the need to do. And the classical example that he gives is if somebody goes out to battle and he sees a goyisha woman, the whole parsha of Yefas Toar, and he wants her, so then there are certain dinim how he's allowed to take her, and then she becomes his wife. That mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah of the Torah, the whole parsha of Yefas Toar, the mitzvah only applies if this person has the Yetzirah that he wants her. He's better off if he doesn't want her. Halavai, he shouldn't. If he wants her, then it has to be done in this manner. The Abarbanel says the mitzvah of the Torah is you don't have to ask for a king. But if you come to the land and you say, you want to have asim alai melech kechol ha-goyim, you want to have a king like all the goyim, and you'd be better off if you never asked for it. But if you ask for it, som tosim alecha melech mikerev achecha, just make sure that the king that you appoint is mikerev achecha, he's from Klal Yisrael. You can't appoint a foreigner to be the leader. He has to be a yid, has to be the one who's appointed as a king. So the taina was that they asked for a king. It was the simple thing was they asked for a king to judge them. Asking for a king was wrong. And you're right, the Torah says if they ask for a king, they can have one. But Vayera Lemaisa, it was bad in the eyes of Shmuel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you should know that's the way the people are. They've been Oyved Avodah Zorah throughout. And we had this from the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's been this way throughout. But if they feel they want a king, give them a king. The Abarbanel, the Malbim, and just picking it up from the Malbim, basically from here it goes through the end of the Perek. The Malbim mentions, among that, there's also a philosophical discussion, which is it's interesting when you see in the Mefarshim how they discuss philosophy, because now we're like so far away from that, like the Yetzirah everyone has nowadays is for different taivas, and like the push it for taivas, you know, Yetzirah, people don't walk around like all entranced, like, you know, they heard this idea of socialism, like, save the world, and, you know, they're ready to give up their life and give up their fortune to fight for socialism and communism and nationalism and Zionism. All the isms, you don't find people, that's not the Eitz HaRa nowadays. But the first time I have a whole discussion, what is the best method of government? Is it best sort of a democracy where the people appoint the leader? Is it best to have a king? And what's the purposes of a king? And I say the whole discussion is very funny because nowadays, at least among most of us, I don't think that that's something that people think about and put their kleichas into. And he brings down Aristotle and exactly, you know, what the Goyish philosophers thought, the advantages of a king, and how Klal Yisrael do they need a king. But the Malba mentions that in terms of the king, whatever benefits there are for the goyim. In other words, the goyim need to have a leader, that they have a central authority, and it's a constant mode of leadership, not like a person doesn't know every few years which course the country is going to be going on. But no, they have a constant, a king, and he has the power to do whatever he wants, not like the leader wants to do something and the Congress can override him. He decides what he wants to do, and they know that they have an authority, and it carries on. And that possibly is the best method for the goyim. The Barbanel says not true. Of course, you know, most of the kings turn out to be a disaster. But whether it's good or bad, that's for the goyim. Because Klal Yisrael, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu fights our battles, and we don't need a king to give us the laws. We have the laws. And as we have the rule of the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. And just to have a king that we have to follow the laws because the king says, that's a step down for Klal Yisrael. You should follow the laws. During the period of Shoftim, Ish Ayosher Be'ein of Yaseh, everybody did what was right in their eyes. Which seems, somebody reading it superficially might say, you know, it was the Wild West. Everybody did what they wanted to. But it's not so. It was Isha Yoshev Ein of Yasa. Everybody did what they really thought was right in their eyes. And they didn't need a king to demand it of them and to force them. They did it because that's what they had to do. For Klal Yisrael, that's the best method that it should be done. The problem over here is there was a few tainus. First of all, the Torah says, after you set you Yarshan Eretz Yisrael, you take over the land and you settle it, then you'll say that you want a king. That means that the king is not to help them conquer the country or to lead their battles. During the times of Shoftim, even in the times of Shmuel, we saw when he had the battle with the Plishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a thunder from Shemayim, and the Plishtim ran away, and then Klal Yisrael just pursued them to kill them. They didn't need a leader to win their wars. Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael could be captured by Derech Neis just after you've settled in. And people get used to more of a commonplace type of life and not living with Nisim, and they're not always on the highest Madrega. There comes to be a certain point where they're no longer able to live on the Madrega of Nisim, and at that point there's a mitzvah to make a king. But as long as Shmuel was still alive and they saw the Nisim still going on, so as long as it was clear they made a mistake, and then there was a shofet, and then they did tshuva, and they were victorious. So they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping them. So at this point, it was a mistake to ask for a king, like that Chazal. They were also poigim in the covet of Shmuel. In other words, to come to Shmuel, who dedicated his life to Klal Yisrael, and say you want a king to judge us, if you'd say you wanted a king to fight the battles, that's okay. But if you speak to the shofet, who gave over his life, and he traveled all around, and he did much more than he had to do, as the shofet, and then you say you want a king to judge us, you don't even mention the fact that a king will fight the wars. That Shmuel, you know, that would have been understandable. But if you go to Shmuel and you say you want a king to judge, Shmuel was the judge. You should have been happy with that mode of governing. That was the pshat that they asked B'tarumis. And also there's two types of kings. There's a king that makes the laws and does what he wants, like a tyrant. Hopefully he's a good king and he doesn't work with a constitution. But in earth, he makes the rules and he does what he wants. And then there's a king who has to work with the constitution, with the rules. The Ali Shur in one of the places discusses from Revolba, a beautiful concept. And, you know, I think it was in discussion on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with Malchus. We talk about Malchus Shemayim. And he said it used to be in the earlier generations, they were zoichet to know what a king was, with all of the trappings of royalty, and that he had the total power, the king that could do whatever he wanted. And that gave a person a picture of Malchus Da'ara, Malchus Da'Rakiya, that seeing a king down here gave you an idea of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Malchus Shemayim should be, what it is. Then afterwards, centuries went by and people were no longer Zaycha, and they no longer saw a king like that. It was already a constitutional monarchy, you know, meaning that the people demand that there are laws, probably from the Magna Carta, you know, from that point in history on. Yeah, but there are laws, and the king has to follow the laws, and if the king follows the rule, then we will serve him. That's a major step down, because that means that we don't have a real picture and a feeling of what a king is, because the king himself has to follow the rules. It makes it more difficult to envision what Malchus Shemayim is, what it means to have a king that you can't lift up your hand and foot, you know, everything's dependent on the king. Centuries went on and they didn't even have a monarchy. The king can't do whatever he wants. The only thing you have nowadays is you have the, you know, like in England, you have the trappings of royalty. You know, there's the king that, you know, sometimes you see he has a palace and he has a lot of wealth. You know, in England, every few years the question comes up, should they keep up with the monarchy or not? It costs a lot of money. Does it pay? You know, on one hand, it's a big tourist draw, you know, for England, and they love their king and queen, the queen. But that's the only picture you have of Malchus Shemayim. And he ends up, he says, nowadays you have, just after World War II, you have a picture of Malchus that is applicable to Klal Yisrael and Golus. He says you have what's called a government in exile. Like, you know, there's a lot of governments when they were first overrun by the Germans, the government went in exile, and officially there was a leader, but he wasn't even in the country and you couldn't see him, but, you know, he was officially the government. He said, like, now the Shekhinah, yeah, it's like Behester Ponim, you don't see Kvod Shemayim at all. But anyways, a Malchus is supposed to give a person a feeling of what royalty is, what it means you have to follow the king. But there are two types of kings. There are kings that follow the rules. There are kings that are absolute authority and they can make the rules. And the Torah is very clear that the king has to follow the rules of the Torah. In fact, he had to write, everyone has to write one Torah, the king had to have a second Torah. V'karabo kol yimei chayav, he's got to have his separate Torah to take with him wherever he goes and to read in it. He's totally bound by it. The fact that they were stressing a king, the shafteinu kechol ha-goyim, is mashma, they wanted a king like all the other goyim, that the king should have free rule. And that was the taina. That's not the type of king that the Torah wanted Klal Yisrael to have. Posekud. So Vayomer Shmuel is called Divrei Hashem. Shmuel said over all of the words of Hashem El Ha'am to the people Hashoali Meito Melech, who asked from him a king. Initially, Shmuel thought what they were doing was wrong. It was Vayera Hadover Be'enei Shmuel. It was bad in his eyes, and he davened. He got the response. Okay, the response is yes. So he told them over all the words of Hashem, and they're going to get the request. Vayomer, and he said, Zeyeh Mishpat Hamelech. This is going to be the law of the king. Asher yimloch aleichem, that will rule over you. Now, it doesn't say this is the law of melucha, of malchus. There are certain rules that apply to a king. For instance, you're not allowed to ride on the king's horse. Or you can't use the other, something that belongs, that is the king's, nobody's allowed to use. There's a certain fear, an ema, that you have to have for a king. Over here, though, he's going to discuss other things, like the king seems to take things. And the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin, over there on Daf Chof, is this what do they do properly? Or is this what the king is allowed to do? Or is this things that kings will do, and the people should be prepared that the king is not always going to follow the rules? And that's the machlokes in the Gemara. But some Amadaik in the Pasuk, he doesn't say that this is the law that a king is entitled to. This is what will be. In other words, you want to know what's going to be, this will be the mishpat of the king. In other words, the king will decide to do this. Not that he's entitled to. But this is what's going to happen. Espenechem yikach. He'll take your sons, v'somlo b'merkavto v'farashov, and he'll put them on his chariot and his cavalry, v'rotzu lifnei merkavto, and they'll run in front of his chariot. Or the king will take your sons. You know, you had these dreams of him doing this great career while sitting and learning. You had all your plans for your son, and the king will decide that's it. He'd like this guy to run in front of his chariot. So that's, now he's got a different career in life. V'losum lo sare alofim v'sare chamishim. And the Malbim says could be he'll take from his runners and make them leaders over the thousands or over the 50, or those that are close with him, you know, those that he likes, he'll put them in charge of, you know, 1,000 people, some people in charge of a little group of 50, but he'll appoint people to offices. And you wonder, why was that guy appointed? Why did he become Secretary of State? Why did he get that position? You should know, it's not always the guy who's most qualified. Sometimes it's the leader has a buddy, and he gives him the job. So he's got these people running in front of his chariot, and takes from them a leader of 1,000, a leader of 50. V'lachrish charisho, people to plow his field. V'liksa katziron, cut his harvest. Velasas klei milchamtoyu, klei richpo, to make the weapons for his war and for his chariots. And again, throughout this, there's a question. Or it's exactly, the king is empowered to fight the war, and of course he can mobilize the people, and he can take things, he can take people's payrises, their fruits to feed the soldiers. There are rules. Throughout this whole parsha, there are those of the Mefarshim who will learn that the king's doing what he's allowed to, and others will learn that the king is doing what he's not allowed to. Perhaps klei milchamtoy is the king is fighting his own war. Or the king can decide he wants to make what's called milchemes harashus. It's a battle that Klal Yisrael doesn't need, but he would like to expand the boundaries, or he has his own agenda. And then he decides he wants his war, and he's drafting all these soldiers, and he's making everybody, you know, to take their role for his personal fight. Resbenosechem yikoch, and he'll take your daughters lorakochois to make perfumes for all of his wives. Ulatabochois and for cooks, uloifois and bakers. Vesidosechem, veskarmechem, your fields and vineyards, vesesechem and your olive orchards. Hatoivim, the good ones, yikoch he'll take, benosan lavodim, and he'll give them to his avodim. We'll see what he takes for himself, but the fields are obviously not the most valuable thing. We'll see. It could be the tzoyim, the livestock is more valuable. But even this, that he doesn't need for himself, if you get on the king's good side, he'll take Reuven's field and he'll give it to Shimon. Why? Because he likes Shimon. Shimon is his Eved. And you should, there are certain rules what the king is allowed to take. Just want to mention this example, which if we get to, when we get to Sefer Melachim, hopefully we'll go into. But there was an incident with Achav. The king Achav was a king over Yisrael, over the ten Shvatim, and he was a terrible Rasha. And there was a vineyard that he wanted. And he asked the owner, Novos, he asked for the vineyard, and he was turned down. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. Now his wife said, "No, you got to show that you're the ruler. You got to show that you're the leader. She'll see to it that you get that vineyard." And she hired false witnesses to say that Novos cursed the king and he cursed Hashem. Anyways, they had the person killed. But it was a trumped-up trial. Anyways, you see from that example that the king can't just decide, "I want a vineyard." In other words, there are certain guidelines. In other words, if he wants a vineyard, he can't just say, "Okay, I want the vineyard." It was obviously understood you can't just take without any reason. There are certain guidelines what type of fields could be taken under what conditions, and that's why she had to do this whole false trial, that legally it sounded like this person was guilty of death, and then there he was killed and the vineyard was taken. But over here he'll take the good field and he'll end up giving it to his avodim. Mezarechem v'charmechem yasor, what's planted, the seeds and the vineyards, yasar, he'll take a tithe, he'll take a tenth. It's not so bad, taxes a tenth, but he'll take a tenth. That's besides the trumas and the maestras and everything that go to the kohanim, levim. V'nasam l'sarisov l'avodov, and he'll give them to his officers and to his avodim. Besavdechem, and your servants, Veshiv Chosechem, and your maidservants, Vesbachurechem Hatovim, and your good Bochrim, Veschamorechem, and your donkeys, Yikach, I'll take that, Vaosalim Lachto. As a double whammy. I'll take your field, and then he needs workers. So I'll take your servant to work on the field for him. No, he's got to have somebody to work it. Sonchem Yasor, your sheep, he'll take a tenth from. Va'atem tilo lavodim, and you will be avodim for him. Uza'akdem b'yoimahu, you're going to cry out on that day. Milifnei malkechem, but from before your king, asher b'chartem lochem. You asked for it. You chose a king. You're going to regret it. V'lo yana Hashem eschem b'yoimahu. And on that day, Hashem will not answer you. You asked for it, you'll get a king, but you're not going to want it. So what was the people's reaction? What very often is, the people refused Lishmoya b'kol Shmuel, to listen to the voice of Shmuel. This wasn't a discussion. This was, they had thought it out and they decided they wanted a king. They were aware of the downside, but they wanted a king. So whatever was said to them now, their decision had already been made. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, they said no. Ki melech yiyaleinu, there will be a king over us. And the Malbim has a discussion. Melech is a king that people take willingly, as opposed to a Moshel who rules by force. A famous example, he brings the pasuk, Hil Hashem Hamlucha. Hashem is the Melech, where we're grateful to have such a king. U'moshel ba'goyim. But over the Goyim, Hashem has to be a Moshel. He rules by force. They don't want Hashem in charge. Or Malchuscha Malchus Kol Olomin. For all eternities, as a constant, Hashem has a malchus. But sometimes Hashem has to clamp down like a Moshe, like a ruler. From generation to generation, or it's every bunch of years, Hashem shows who's boss. But it's not a constant, the Moshe. Anyways, they were convinced, Ki melech yaleinu, we're going to have a melech. And we'll be like the goyim, who have a leader, Ushvatanu Malkeinu v'yotza lefaneinu, and our king will judge us, and he'll go out before us, v'nilcham es milcham oseinu. Here they mention that the king would be the one to fight their war. V'yishma Shmuel, he's called Divrei Ha'om, Shmuel listened to all the words of the people, v'yedabrim ba'oznei Hashem, and he spoke that over to Hashem, the response of the people, in order to get some feedback. In other words, what's the next step? Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel. Hashem said to Shmuel, Shma b'kolom, listen to their voice, v'imlachto lahem melech, and you should appoint for them a king. Vayomer Shmuel al Anshe Yisrael. So Shmuel said to the Anshe Yisrael, before it was the Zakenim that came to him. But now, obviously, everyone was there. He said to the Anshe Yisrael, to all the people, Lachu ish l'iro, okay, we've heard your request, everybody go home. You'll get your king. And how, we'll discuss in Perek Tes.
To sponsor a tape, please call 436-3024. Thank you. 718-436-3024.